Well, good morning, everybody. It is Sunday, December the 4th, maybe? I think it's the 4th, 3rd or 4th. Anyway, where did the month of November go is what I want to know. And I'm looking around, and the colors are changing down here in North Florida. And we do have some colors here in North Florida. We have a lot of hardwoods. We have a lot of live oaks, too, which are those huge trees with the moss hanging down. But we do have a lot of hardwoods too, which makes it very, very pretty. And I am headed off to my old church over in Taylor, Florida. Now, Taylor, Florida is a really good ways away, probably 35, 40 minutes away through the National Forest. And it's a little, well, it used to be a little church. When I went there, it was real tiny. My grandmother took me there, and I remember the old pews were wooden pews that were, that move if you moved, and wooden floors, and a big, well, not a big one, but a wood stove in the middle of the room that would heat up the room during the wintertime. Believe it or not, it does get cold here in Florida, in North Florida anyway. But as a kid, that was where I went. My family went there, and we had a very large family. My dad was one of five children, and so we all went to the same church, and we were very much a close-knit family. And my grandmother was sort of the glue that held us all together. And she would always have dinner at her house after church. And we would all gather at her house and we'd play horseshoes and cards and laugh and sit on the front porch and swing and talk. And we just had a really, really good time. And I miss that. My grandmother died. Gosh, I guess it's been maybe 7 years ago. It's been a while. My dad died, and then my grandmother, she didn't last long after that. He was her first and the oldest of all of her children, and I think she was the closest with him than she was with any of her other kids. And I had the best grandma in the world. She never raised a hand to me. I don't think she ever scolded me in my life. I know she never spanked me, not that I'm aware of. If she was guilty of one thing, it was loving us. And when she passed, it just seemed like the family, I don't know, it just, we all kind of dispersed, you know? And we didn't get together that often, and maybe once a year we'd get together around Christmas time, and usually we didn't get, everybody didn't show, you know, there would be several that wouldn't be there, and, you know, people would come in part of the day and leave, and anyway, it just seemed like when Grandma was alive that she kept us all together, and it just seemed we were closer as a family. And being a large family always made it fun, you know. And because there was always something to do and somebody to talk to, and there were so many different ages throughout the family, you know, that everybody could sort of pair up and have friends. And even though we were cousins and aunts and uncles and nephews and nieces, we could pair up together and, you know, sometimes personalities of some would click better with others, and anyway, which leads me to where I'm going this morning. That old church, of course, they've torn down the old church and they've built a new church there. It's a more modern church. I'm going to that church, hadn't been there in a while, but I'm going because my cousin's little girl, Bentley, is in some sort of production there, and I think she's only five, maybe, maybe six. I'm not really sure how old she is now. Now I feel pretty stupid because I don't know. Good Lord, which one's... Is it this one or that one? I'm confused. I'm trying to turn down a road here, and it's called Gum Swamp Road, and I'm afraid I may have taken the wrong turn. But anyway, she's in a little production there, and we're all going to sort of support and help and, you know, be as supportive as we can. And so I'm heading out there this morning. My wife is going to our church, which is in our town. And so I'll be the lone visitor today. And I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think we're going to have a good time. I'll get to see family again. And that's always important. Seeing family is everything to me. I was raised that family was the greatest thing, you know. And if you have similar notions, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. And so family will always be there. Spouses may come and go, friends may come and go, but family will always be there. And so I'm looking forward to seeing family. We've got, there's certain family members that you just really, really enjoy being around. And I've got several that I just love being around. We have a good time. We laugh. We cut up. Great sense of humor. Our family's always had a really good sense of humor. People like to laugh and they like to cut up with each other. And nobody seems to get offended, which is good because in this day and age, people get offended really, really easily. So I'm heading over there and I'm going through a little old two-lane road, in the middle of the forest. It's a national forest. It's the Osceola National Forest, which is really thick with pine trees mostly. And, it's not very pretty in my opinion, but I have to go through the national forest to get to where I'm going. I could have taken the long way around, but I felt like this was probably a good trip to make because I do like little two-lane back roads, you know. But back when I was in college, I lived just down from Taylor, Florida, in a little community called Kyler. And I used to drive from Kyler to Lake City Community College, it was called back then, on this little road. We call it a gum swamp road because there's a swamp out here called gum. But it's 250 is what the name of it is. And it's just, there's no lights. There's no, if the stars and the moon aren't out, the only light you have is from your vehicle's lights, if you're traveling at night, which I did a lot of. But it was the quickest, fastest route to get to Lake City Community College. And I loved taking this route back in the day because, of course, I was young. You know, when you're young, you don't mind driving. You want to drive everywhere, you know. But I would take this road. And so this road is bringing back a lot of memories for me, especially with it being, you know, the cooler weather. I'd say fall, but really fall in North Florida is around December. We don't get fall in September like most places above the Mason-Dixon line. Our trees really don't start to change colors till December. But anyway, it reminds me of when I was back in school and, you know, I was going to college and everything was just, the world was a great place and, you know, it was this huge oyster of mine and I was just going to discover it all and, you know, make my mark on the world. And I was very much an idealist. And I think that we should all be idealist as kids and then become realist as we grow older and become adults. But floods of memories are coming across my mind traveling down this road. There used to be cows that get out on this road, and I mean like, I don't know, 40, 50 cows on the road. And one night we came from, I was driving back from Lake City, and I think I might have had some people in the car with me, probably my wife, which was my girlfriend at the time. And I was flying down this road because, of course, I was young. And you know, you go 100 miles an hour everywhere you go. And so I was flying down this road, and I came up on these cows at night. And I mean, oh, it scared me to death. And I was weaving in and out of cows. I was serpentining between the cows. How we did not get killed, honestly, is a miracle. It's a miracle we didn't all die. But I made it through those cows and didn't miss a lick. And it was amazing. And I've never forgotten that story. And another time I was riding on this road, and there was a rattlesnake in the middle of the road. And I was working for the sheriff's office back then. And so I carried with me a 45, hollow point 45, which is about the size of your thumb. And it's huge. And the end of the bullet is hollowed out. So when it hits you, it spreads out. It's intended to cause as much harm as possible. And so anyway, I got out of the car, and my girlfriend was with me, my wife now, Missy. And I saw that big old rattlesnake in the middle of the road. And I was probably 30, 40 feet from it, maybe 30 feet. And I thumb cocked that 45, and I took that rattlesnake's head off from 30 feet. I was amazed. Not that I'm that great of a shot, mind you. That was absolute dumb luck. But of course, being young and full of myself, I reached down and grabbed that snake and held him up high. He's probably 6 feet. And I shook him at my girlfriend, and I said, see what good a shot your boyfriend is? Always trying to impress. That was a thing of my youth. You know, I was trying to impress everybody. Good Lord. Like it really mattered. But when you're young, you don't know any better. But I traveled this road back and forth late at night, early in the morning. It didn't matter. This was my road of choice. And a lot of good memories. A lot of really, really good memories. You know, the cooler weather has always been my favorite time of year, even here in North Florida when, you know, everybody lives for the summer so they can go to the beach. I love the cooler weather. I just always have. And, of course, there's memories associated with it. So it triggers memories for me, which are good memories. And, you know, I've got trees on my right and trees on my left, and they're probably all of 60 feet tall. And they're these old pine trees. And there's a few hardwood mixed in with them. You know, there's what my daddy used to call a red-tip maple, which is actually a sugar maple. And there's some other hardwood trees in there too, like popcorn trees. They really turn a beautiful color during the fall. And but mostly 99% of it is just these old pine trees. I'm not a big fan of the pine tree. I'm not sure what variety it is. I know we have the loblollies down here, and we have the slash pines, and we may have another kind, but that's the only two that I'm really familiar with, and I really couldn't tell you the difference. I know one's got a longer leaf, one's got a shorter leaf, or needle, I should say. They don't have leaves, they have needles. But the sun is just creeping up through the trees to my right, and it's casting all these hundreds and thousands of shadows across the road of the trees, and it's almost like a little strobe light's going off beside me as I race down the road, and they're flickering back and forth. But when I come up on some of these sugar maples, it's really, really, it's a huge contrast compared to the pine trees, which are just green. They're green with a sort of a dark grayish brown trunk, not very pretty. Their limbs are very high, so it's not like they really, I don't know, I'm just not a big fan of pine trees. Now, we use a lot of pine trees. We take the pulp out of the pine trees and we make paper products from it. We also, believe it or not, you probably didn't know this, but they actually use some of the pulp in pine trees to put in ice cream to give it that fluffy sort of feel, which is kind of gross if you ask me. I've never been a huge ice cream fan anyway, so it didn't hurt my feelings when I found that out. But we use pulp in a lot of things. I had a friend who was a chemical engineer for one of the, I think it was Georgia Pacific, No, it was Rainier. I'm sorry, Rainier. There's a big company called Rainier that does paper products and mills, lumber, and stuff like that. They're worldwide. Anyway, he was telling me about the uses of pine. And, of course, we get turpentine from the pine. Turpentine used to be really big when I was a kid. They probably don't do it much today, but you get turpentine, you put it on a cut, and it would help, you know, kill all the germs, and it'd heal up. It'd sting a little bit, but, I mean, if you got cut in the South and, you know, you were just poor white trash like I was, we didn't have health insurance plans, and we didn't go to the doctor unless something was really bad. Wrong. And Mama had Campophonique. She had Mercurium or Murochrome. I can't remember how you say it, but it was this red stuff in a bottle. It had a little dropper on it, and she'd touch that to your skin, and it'd be like setting it on fire. But it would keep you from getting infected. Basically, infections, you know, are what kills you. It's not necessarily the cut itself, but it's all the bacteria and things that get in there and under your skin and then get in your bloodstream and cause all kinds of problems for you. So turpentine's one of those things that we would use. Of course, they would make paint thinner from turpentine. I don't know if they do that anymore. Turpentine was good to get gum. The sap on the pine tree would drip and fall sometimes on your car, and if you didn't get it right away, it would just absolutely destroy your paint job. It would just get hard, and it would hard as glass when it dried and solidified. And so turpentine, if you could get there quick enough, it would take it off. Turpentine would take paint off. So there were a lot of really good uses for turpentine. So a lot of farming was done similar to the way they farm maple syrup from the maple trees up in the north, Vermont and Canada and New Hampshire and Maine and places like that. You could see buckets along some of these trees, you know, and then be dripping the sap in there, and then they'd take that sap and they would refine it and turn it into turpentine and paint thinner and other things. So pine trees have uses. They always have. I just don't like them. They're not pretty to me. And then underneath the pines are what we call palmetto bushes. And if you're not familiar with palmetto bushes, they look like the palms on a palm tree, but they grow up from the ground up. And you talk about a rattlesnake haven. Good God Almighty. Rattlesnakes love those palms and the palm branches, because it provides a lot of shade for them, but it also provides a lot of shade for other little animals, other critters that the rattlesnake will eat. And so it's a circle of life kind of thing, and provides for a lot of cover, and you can hide in it as an animal, and you know. So needless to say, it's not that pretty, but it's as far as the eye can see. I always think about this terrain when I drive through the forest, because not too far from here there was a Civil War battle. If you're familiar with American history, you know, the Civil War, I think back in 1864, if I remember correctly, it might have ended around then. Anyway, a lot of these troops, north and south, were, you know, going through these woods and all these palmetto bushes, and I'm betting there were a lot of soldiers that got bitten by rattlesnakes and probably died or lost a leg. And so rattlesnakes, just a little bit of information here, rattlesnakes are hemotoxic. Means they're toxic to the blood. Now we have another snake in the South that is probably just as deadly, but is neurotoxic, and that's the cottonmouth. We also call them what's the other word we call them? Cottonmouth, and then there's moccasins, and they're black. They get really, really fat, and I've never seen one much bigger than about 4 feet long, but they're super fat. And they're very, very aggressive. And when they bite you, it affects your central nervous system. So basically, you're paralyzed. And it can kill you, because it paralyzes the smooth muscles in your body, which your heart is a smooth muscle. And your your intestines are smooth muscles, and more importantly, your lungs are smooth muscles. So you stop breathing. And they're very deadly too. And now, compared to a rattlesnake will let you know when you're getting too close to them because they have the little rattlers at the end of their tail, and they'll, you know, they'll let you know right away. A moccasin is sneaky, and they'll actually stalk you, which sounds crazy, but it's true. Moccasins will stalk you. They'll come after you. They'll come towards you. They're not afraid of you like a rattlesnake is. You have a better chance, I think, of surviving with a rattlesnake bite than you do with a moccasin, only because of the difference in the neurotoxin and the hemotoxins that they secrete. So a little bit of information there. Now, Florida is known for one of the world's deadliest snakes, which is the coral snake. Now, the coral snake is red. It's got stripes around it, red and yellow, red, yellow, black. And they say red on yellow kills the fellow. Red on black, just step back. And that was because we have another snake, a king snake, that mimics the coral snake. Now, they're very small. They don't have like fangs like a pit viper does. They sort of gnaw at the flesh to inject their venom. And it's more of a salivatory secretion. It's not like a sac like a pit viper has, you know, with the venom inside of the sac itself. But it is a deadly, deadly bite. I think it's compared to the king cobra, the black mamba, and the sea snake. It's very, very deadly. But they're extremely elusive. I've only seen one in my entire life here in Florida, and that was at the Springs. They're a beautiful snake. If you have a chance, look them up. Look them up. They're really pretty. But that's some of the snakes here in Florida that you have to be aware of. Now, I talked about pine trees. We have the pine snake. Now, they'll get up to like 6 feet long, and they're sort of a coppery and black color. And they're big. They get really big, and they get really long. And they will climb up these trees to get to the bird's nest up top. But the birds are smart. They'll peck around the tree just below their nest. And so all the sap seeps out, and it's an irritant to the snake. And so the pine snake will climb up the tree, digging his scales into the side of the bark of the tree. But as he gets higher, the aroma from the turpentine and the sap that's coming out of the pine tree offends the snake so much so his skin and his ability to smell the air and taste it, he knows that it's a caustic thing for him or her, and they'll retreat, and so it keeps the bird's nests from being raided by the snake and perpetuates the species. Now, of course, we also have the alligator down here. Now, the alligators are everywhere. If there's a body of water, there's an alligator in it, guaranteed. You may not see it. That doesn't mean the gator's not there, but it's there. Now, we call them gators. It's sort of a short term for alligator. We just call them gators down here. And I've seen hundreds of gators in my lifetime. I don't swim in dark waters here in Florida. I only swim in pools, the ocean, and I'll swim in the springs, the really... crystal clear springs that we have. But here recently, there's been some video online on YouTube of a huge, probably 10-foot gator that's sitting at the bottom of one of the mouth springs. And two divers video record it. And if you get a chance, you look that up on YouTube. It's, I don't know how you'd find it, but it's a gator in the springs. There was also a kayaker who... a gator, he must have gotten too close to a gator's nest or something, I'm not really sure, because the gator was aggressive, and they're typically not aggressive. They're pretty shy. Even underwater, if you come upon them, they're pretty shy. But now, they can be aggressive, don't get me wrong. I don't trust them, and I'm terrified of them, but we have them around here too. They stick around swamps and water areas. We've had some seen at the beaches, which is unusual, but we have seen them in the surf. I've never seen it personally, but I've seen it on TV when the news camera would cover it for whatever reason, because it is a big news story. It's not like sharks. You know, we're used to sharks, you know. But here in North Florida, we have the cougar. We have the what we call the you might call it a mountain lion. We call it a cougar. It's, you know, it looks just like a mountain lion. We have the Florida cougar. We have the Florida panther as well. And I'm not sure. We have black panthers here or dark-colored panthers. They're extremely elusive. You don't see them much. They're kind of like the black bear. We have the black bear here too. And you don't see them often at all. In fact, in all of my life in Florida, I've only seen dead bears that people shot and killed. We have a lot of deer, what we call white-tailed deer. They're big, but they're not like big like out in Oklahoma and Texas and Colorado and things like that. But they're big. They're good-sized deer. A lot of hunting going on for deer. A lot of guys around here in North Florida love to hunt. Girls, too, for that matter. We have, of course, we have raccoons. Coons, we call them. And we have possums. And we have armadillos. And trying to think of some of the other animals. These are the animals that live up in North Florida. And they're pretty harmless, mostly. You know, armadillos will dig in your yard. They'll dig holes and things like that. I guess they're looking for grubs or something. Raccoons come out at night. They'll get into your garbage if they can, and they'll strew it everywhere. Possums come out at night, too. They like chickens. They'll actually kill the chicken and drink the blood. They're like little vampires. And they'll kill a whole chicken pen if they can, and they'll just leave the body. They don't eat the body. They just drink the blood. It's kind of gross, but they love the blood of a chicken. of course, we have ospreys, which are one of the largest birds down here, and we also have the American bald eagle. We have them, too. I've seen several American bald eagle here in Florida, and they're usually around the waterways. They're scavengers. And ospreys, a lot of ospreys. They're huge, huge birds. Look up their size. You'll see what I'm talking about. Of course, we have the turkey vultures, and we have turkeys, too. We have toms, and we have the the female turkeys. And you'll see a lot of turkeys around here, a lot of turkeys, because we have a lot of farmland, too. So we have a lot of wildlife in this area. It's beautiful. You'll see this throughout, you know, your time here in Florida. If you venture out at all, you'll see it. Different times of the day. Deer come out in the evening or early in the morning. Turkeys you'll see in the afternoon sometimes, or, you know, they'll be out in the fields and you'll see 25, 30 of them out there. Possums usually at night. Raccoons at night, you won't see them at night. If you see a raccoon during the day, chances are he's probably got rabies. It's not normal. They're a nocturnal animal. Opossums are the same way. They're a nocturnal animal. They're a marsupial, which means they have a sac. They carry their babies in. So trying to think of other animals that we have. Now, I had a pet raccoon once, actually found on this road, little baby one, probably just bigger than my hand. And I raised her to a full adult. She's huge. She probably weighed, at least 25 pounds. She's a big, big girl. Anyway, I raised her and then I released her into the wild. I also had a pet squirrel once, and raised that squirrel too, and released it into the wild. They make great pets. I've heard skunks make good pets too. Now, you'll see skunks down here too, but not as many as you'll see probably in up in Tennessee and North Carolina, places like that. I'm not really sure why, but you don't see that many down here. Now, we do have the python, which is not a native species to Florida. It was brought in from Miami, from down south in Colombia and South America and the Amazon and places like that. And people had pythons as pets, and then they got huge. And, of course, pythons will escape from anything. They're escape artists. And so people wake up and the python's in the bed with them because it's looking for warmth or it's looking to kill them. Little unknown fact, a python... there was a lady who was bragging about how her python was just so kind and so sweet, and it would stretch out against her every night from head to toe. The snake would stretch out, and it did this for days on end. And she said, "Oh, my python's so sweet." Well, what she didn't know, because she didn't know any better, she's ignorant, that python was sizing her up to see if he could fit her in her stomach. That's the truth. And when she found that out, of course, she got rid of the python. Well, when people get rid of pythons, they just release them into the wild, or they flush them down the commode, which is horrible. Well, now we have a python problem in Florida. They've eaten just about everything in the Everglades, including alligators. And they're an invasive species, and we have a python hunt every year where we pay people, the government of Florida pays people to go in and kill the pythons and then bring back the carcass. And they're given so much money per foot. But pythons can grow up to 20 feet. I mean, they're one of the largest snakes in the world. Anacondas are big, but pythons grow bigger. And they eat everything in their sight, everything. I have friends who work for the Department of Natural Resources down in Miami, and they said that there are no longer any more deer, raccoons, possums, rats, anything. It's all gone, and so the snakes have begun eating the alligators, and now they're moving north, and they've been spotted as far north as Lake Okeechobee. Now they're making their way forward up north because that's what snakes will do. And the python, you know, Florida's a tropical state, and so pythons can survive here. And so that's something that you probably will see in the next 50 years. You'll see pythons probably in North Florida, unless we can stop them, which I don't think we can, because the waterways run up and down Florida all the time, and they love the water. They travel in the water. It's easier and quicker. So I look for pythons to be seen in Florida. We also have monkeys that are not indigenous here that used to be at a place called Silver Springs in Ocala, Florida, and they got loose, and they've traveled now. People can see them on the Indian River down south towards, what's that little town? I think it's DeLand. Anyway, there are monkeys in Florida, which is kind of weird. So I'm sure once the snakes and the monkeys find each other, there'll be a rapid decline in one of the species. But Florida is a very tropical state. North Florida is different. You know, we have several regions in Florida. We have the Panhandle, and we have the North Florida, and then we have what's called North Central Florida, and then we have Central Florida, and then we have South Florida. So we have several zones in Florida that represent different temperatures, different animals, completely different species of all kinds, basically. And but Florida is a very, very interesting state. I've gone on longer than I really anticipated, but I just exited the forest, so you can see how long it is for me riding through. Anyway, a little bit of interesting facts on Florida. Hope you enjoyed it, and until we talk again, thanks for tuning in, y'all.